Hey yo, here we go with another edition of Utah Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I am Addy.
Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the
right
one
after.
Name is Addy, the
early
Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that these fellows to the Mo.
Probably actually the best show ever.
They're going to talk wrestling.
The best show though ever.
They're
going to
make some jokes. Remember Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
All our thoughts tonight. Yeah, just
we talk wrestling.
Right. So, what did you think? You know, I thought a Survivor Series.
We talk wrestling.
Well, it sucked until the end, which was great.
Yeah.
That's basically it. I thought this whole event sucked.
In my nutshell, yeah.
They had this event. They had one other match that was passable, and a lot of people liked it more than me, and Bray Wyatt versus
Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, which to me was just a lot of punch and kick.
Yeah, but it wasn't, it was okay.
Yeah, it was alright.
It was okay, yeah.
It was alright, but it didn't really do it for me. So then you had the main event, which was a great story, and you had the Sting moment.
Yeah.
The thing is, we came out of that, we were like, oh, what do you think of the show? Oh, about a 7 out of 10. Yeah, we're both like, yeah, 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, before the Sting and the main event, it was like a 1.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
2 out of 10. It was a horrible show. And then we loved that so much.
The Man Called Sting. I've gone back and watched it.
Have you?
It was that good, yeah.
It was that good. It was, and that's the thing is, what happens last is really what counts the most, right?
Yeah.
So,
WCW.
Yeah, WCW used to be great show, but a horrible main event. You walked away going, eh. Meanwhile, Shawn Michaels would be the main event on WWF, and everything else would suck.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, it's a good show.
Well, so, that's because Shawn Michaels would tell us lies and say that he won't go. We just also, before recording this show, watched the 1995, December 18th, 1995, Monday Night Raw on the network. And the main event was the Tell Me a Lie video.
Yeah, can you imagine going off the air now with a cheesy video for John Cena? Like a video about...
I absolutely can.
Actually, they probably will do that next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after all this, I have to ask you one question, though.
What's that?
Would you tell me a lie and say that you're not Mo?
I am Mo, and I will not tell you a lie. That's who I am.
Huh.
And anyway, so back to it. So yeah, everything sucked. Everything sucked until this main event. And so I actually watched Raw the next night for the first time I've watched Raw in a while, because yeah. I've been kind of, you know, and you go in with all excitement, and it is hard to get up the same excitement because then they gave us a Raw that was pretty blah.
Maybe need that blue pill.
Snap into it?
You said it was hard to get it up.
Oh.
Maybe you need like an erector set.
I said hard
set.
To get up for the show.
Maybe you need an erector set.
Well, that's our show sponsor.
Yes, that was the sponsor of Raw.
Yeah.
And our show sponsor.
Yeah, it's a little blue pill.
Yeah.
Erector set.
The erector set.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's go back to Sting. Let's go back to the main event of Survivor okay. Series. Because this match, like I said, everything blew chunks until then, with the exception of a passable Ambrose-Wyatt match. And then you did get a couple title changes, right? This is all, remember, this is the free preview. So this is like their hook, right? All of our fucking shows are like this. Get the network, right? And so you had the Miz and Mizdow win the tag team championship. You had a 22nd Divas title change. So you had some title changes.
I love the story behind that one. They were working on their spots for
yes.
their match.
Yes.
When somebody came up to them and said, things are going long. You have 20 seconds.
Yeah. And then they came up with the let's play off of the Daniel Bryan thing.
Yeah.
That's literally what happened. That was not the original plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they still went long. They still went off the air at 9 minutes and 9:02, 9:03. So we didn't
1:00?
Yeah, so we 9:02, 1:03. Yeah, it's just the neighborhood over.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we didn't get the Vince McMahon post-show press conference that he did.
Right.
That they advertised. Taped. But never put on the network.
Yeah, because they went long.
That's what your mom tells me, too.
On the fucking network that they own.
Yeah.
They went long.
Uh-huh.
You know, so...
Remember when they used to be able to just adjust, and they did like the post shows, and they actually did the press conference thing, and
yeah, but
who cares?
Okay, it goes to 9, and so they cut it because they didn't have time. They own the fucking network.
Yeah,
like at 2 a.m. You know what's on at the network at 2 a.m.
Legends House.
Who gives a fuck what's on the network at 2 a.m.?
It was Legends House.
Who gives a fuck? It was a Legends House reunion.
Yes, yes. It was.
And you couldn't take 10 minutes off the fucking Legends House.
Actually, I think
Legends
that's
House
the actual reunion. Problem is, I don't think they have, especially in the middle of the night, the technology. Like, it used to be, like, we now join this program in progress.
Yeah, we now join our regularly scheduled program in progress.
I don't think the WWE, they have people with the technical ability to figure out how to do that.
Guess what? That's a cocksucking motherfucking bullshit no, because they did that with the Roman Reigns injury. When their buddy, our pal Scott Stanford, broke in with the news.
But that was in the middle of the day. It wasn't 2 in the morning. Oh, it was a skeleton crew.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
That's a good name for a tag team.
The Skeleton Crew?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Who would be in it?
Laparca.
Laparca and Justin Gabriel.
There you go.
There, see? There you go. The Skeleton Crew.
I like it.
I do too. And you could have like Laparca and Barry Horowitz. The Skeleton Jew.
So do you want to go to my game? Because that's the game that I got this week. Because I give you 2 random people and you tell me what their team name would be.
Nice! This is going to be great.
Do you want to do that now or do you want to finish talking?
Let's save that. Because that sounds something like... That's like not eating your... like leaving like your candy for last because it's so good. You don't want to eat it all.
You know, it's going to be great.
You know your dinner candy?
Oh, I got a bunch here. So you'll have some fun with this.
This is going to be excellent. Yeah. But... okay, so the Survivor Series. 5-on-5, Mark Henry gets knocked out right away. It's advantage baby faces, the whole, you know, Hunter's ripped off his tie and he's fucking concerned. And then it gets down to Big Show then turns on John Cena. You know why? Because Cena's a dick.
That's true.
He leaves, and Cena gets pinned, and then I'm fast-forwarding a lot of this shit. 3-on-1 advantage, heels.
Yeah.
With Dolph Ziggler as a sole survivor. I should say that they did test out and they did square off Rowan and Harper that got a reaction.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a reaction to Rusev and Ryback. Not as big, but they got a bit. And so anyway, it goes
But then Harper pinned Rowan, so.
Yes, yeah. And then it comes down to the 3 heels against Ziggler. Ziggler pins Kane. Ziggler pins Harper. And then it's Ziggler and Rollins, which is the match it should be for the work rate in that. And then so they go back and forth, and Ziggler's almost winning. And then finally refs are getting pulled away, and refs are getting knocked out. And then all of a sudden Scott Armstrong comes in. If the ref knocked out, Hunter pedigrees Ziggler, beats the shit out of him because Hunter is great. Covers, puts Rollins on Ziggler. Scott Armstrong, the... twice a year heel referee that we're all supposed to just know and associate with the authority, runs down, counts the 1, counts the 2, and then all of a sudden there's a crow sound, and here comes Sting.
Oh, I'm sorry, I spaced out.
Did you?
What were you talking about?
I don't remember.
No, and then comes Sting to, for some reason, when they did the video game, they used the Sting crow music. And it got a huge reaction, and it was perfect for the character.
Yeah.
So they didn't use that.
No.
No.
Yeah. For the video game thing, they used his, it was the orchestra playing his music. Yeah.
And it was a big part of the video thing, game thing. And it should still be, and they didn't do that.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They got a WWF. I mean, they have to do it.
Actually,
right?
I'm pretty sure, I mean, he didn't, there was a lot of people concerned. Is he going to become the GM? And I think their plan is for him to not talk and be real mysterious.
Yeah.
And that's good. And not that he's a bad promo, he's decent.
Well, he never answered Hunter.
No.
Hunter said, "What the fuck are you doing here?"
That is what he said. He looked at me, "What the fuck are you doing here?" It was awesome. And Sting just looked at him like,
huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
But Sting with his red hair and reddish brown hair.
Yeah.
And Yeah, and his mad 3-minute stare down. Hunter goes for a punch, duck, Scorpion Death Drop, which Michael Cole doesn't know the name of. Then he puts Ziggler on.
It has a WWF name at this point. He's probably had 14 of them.
Yeah. Hits him with the slop drop. Yeah, come exactly. on.
Like 14 people have used that hold over the last 14 years.
Yes, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But I think I would have loved if he called it the slop drop, actually. Wouldn't have been awesome. But then Ziggler gets the win. Authority is fired. Cena comes out to celebrate with Dolph and to steal his thunder on Monday.
He's not a dick.
Well, he is on Monday, though. Because he does all the talking for Ziggler.
It's true.
Yeah. But, then the Authority is fired and they do a na-na-na-na thing. And then the show goes off the air. But it was great. And Hunter and Steph played it great. And yeah, so
the thing is, it was the Sting moment was great. I mean, huge reaction, you know, for the crowd, great reaction. I had goosebumps. The man they call B was here. He's leaning forward and looking finally something got his interest in the show.
Yeah.
Like, it was a great moment. And the match itself, even without the Sting thing, was a great match.
Oh, yeah.
It was just awesome storytelling. Everybody got their shine, except for Mark Henry, who I don't know who's bet he shit in. Between what happened here and happens on Raw, where he loses in a minute to the Ryback.
I think actually somebody shit in his bag.
So Randy Orton is to blame.
Randy Orton or X-Pac. that was it, and everybody else got something to do. I mean, the Ryback, I guess, also is the one that had the most sort of build going into the match, and then he was just a guy.
Yeah, he was just a guy.
He was the big guy. But he was a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas Big Hoss was over on... he was fine to wrestle in the pay-per-view opener there, Jack Swagger.
Oh, I thought talking about Charlie Haas. But he's not very big.
Nobody talks about Charlie Haas.
Really?
Even his wife.
Hmm. Jackie Gita?
Yeah.
Are they still married?
I think they're still married, but they stopped talking to each other. Because every time he would come home from working at Target, and he would say to her, what the fuck was up with the Jackie Gata match? Mm-hmm. She got sick of it.
It's true.
I could talk about that match forever, though.
Could you?
Yeah, maybe he should marry me.
So then the Monday Night Raw after comes out with the Authority. Because, you know, they've been fired. And no longer can be on television ever. So.
They just have their corporate jobs.
So why else would they open Raw?
So, yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, then they did some shit, stupid crap. Oh, I forgot about the Vince stip. Saying that John Cena is the only one that can bring the Authority back. That was the opening talking segment.
Yeah.
In the, what do we figure, 88 minutes of
there talking? Was 88 minutes worth of wrestling. On the 3-hour pay-per-view. And they followed up the 88 minutes worth of the talking on Raw the next night. They had 44 minutes worth of wrestling the next night. So they had 2 hours and 12 minutes worth of wrestling between over 6 hours worth of programming.
Yes, well.
With the overrun and everything like that.
Let's call it. Yeah, I guess there's a bit of an overrun, but I was still going to say 5.5 hours, let's say. Because there's about a half hour worth of commercials on a 3-hour show.
Yeah, they wrestle right through that, though. They have matches right through that and stuff like that, so I don't count that.
Well, not at all.
I would say, let's just say 6 hours, just call it even.
Just to get
warm. But 2.5, like, you have so little.
But my boy. Wrestling my boy, on the show. My boy D. Bryan.
Yes.
He was the general manager, which made perfect sense. To kick out the Authority, out come D. Bryan.
It was a great moment when he came out and the yes chance happened.
The yes chance happened, and it seems like he should be coming back sooner than later.
Well, he did a sit down with Cole because Hunter used to do those sit downs, and of course he doesn't do them now.
Well, no, it can't be on TV.
Yeah, so he did a sit down with Cole, and he did say there's no timetable for his return.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, who knows when it'll happen. He said it, you know, it's going to happen, I guess. I mean, I just hope he takes care of himself.
Yeah.
That's, well, his wife can take care of him.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Of course she can.
But, yeah, no, it's, I don't know. He was okay. Like, I thought he was pretty good because he didn't seem like he gave a shit too much, and that helped.
But I like that he called him the Ryback.
The Ryback. Yeah. That was hilarious. But, boy, Seth Rollins, and I like Seth Rollins, but, man, was he ever horrible at the top of the stage reacting to him?
Yeah.
Like, he had a bad night on the mic.
And so. That segment went a half an hour.
Uh-huh. So, like, four, yeah, so...
It literally, that segment went out.
And they went 44 minutes of wrestling for the night.
Yeah. 14 more minutes on that segment. Some of Raw I liked, though. I will say that.
Actually, here's something I want to do. Because I didn't... There was things about... I'm not watching next week. Like, there's just no way.
No, not with Hornswoggle in charge.
No, and there was some things that you like, but there's so much you can pick apart, but there is some things you can like. So... Let's do this. Let's play a game. This isn't the game I created.
Okay.
It's
not your liver game.
Let's play this game right now. You take WWE.
Okay.
And you tell me something good or something bad. Like, you have to pick your side. What are you going to defend? You're going to say good things, something they're doing that's good?
I'll say good things.
Okay, I'll say the bad things. Yeah. Then. I'll say something that they're doing that's bad.
And no one listening to this is surprised at all by that.
I could say some good things.
I know.
You may forget some things. Maybe at some point we'll switch.
Maybe we will. Maybe that's part of the game.
Yeah.
Because we just made it up now.
There's no rules. Nobody's in charge of us,
goddammit. This is a Russo game. We're going to change on the fly.
Yeah, swerve.
Swerve.
All right. Go ahead. Say something good they're doing right now.
What, now?
Yeah.
I already get some. I thought we'd do this like in a couple of weeks when I could prepare.
No.
Oh,
right now. See something.
No, I liked on Raw. I liked the. I liked the Pledge of Allegiance with Sergeant Slaughter and Rusev, and the crowd was into it. And I liked that that Jack Swagger is back in that U.S. title foil picture for Rusev in the short term here.
Again, I agree with you on that. They had the Daniel Bryan out there. They had Brie turn heel.
Yes.
He's the general manager, and she's doing it because to get revenge on AJ for what she did to him at WrestleMania in a story that makes no sense because right. She was the babyface girlfriend at the time.
Yes.
He was the heel guy.
This is true.
But they do this, uh-huh. And they have no backstage segments with Daniel Bryan, and he never at one point talks to her or questions her about it.
No.
So her heel turn is just something that happened with no logic or sense. It's horrible storytelling, unfortunately, and they didn't even try.
And guess what? I agree with you. Because that continuity is so important if you're going to go all the way.
And, by the way, I love that AJ said talent is not sexually transmitted, and that was the girl married to CM Punk who said that.
Yes.
Pipebomb. Yeah, exactly. But, hey, I mean, if it was, that would mean that the Brie would be the most talented... followed by AJ, followed by Nikki.
What, that if talent was sexually transmitted?
Yeah.
If talent was sexually transmitted, yeah, then yeah, it would be Brie,
then AJ,
then
Nikki.
And then Nikki. Yeah, that's true. That's damn true. Not making the list still, surprisingly, would be Kelly Kelly.
Yes. Yeah. This is a test.
Want me to talk about something good?
Good, yeah.
Good.
Give me something else.
I like that they announced the TLC main event on the Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. And that it's Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And they've already set up a couple other matches now to go with it.
Oh.
But
Kane and the Ryback.
Yeah, and that's going to be a table match, it looks like. And then what was it that's going to be the chairs match?
I don't know.
They started setting something up that could be the chairs match, too, really? I think. Yeah. But or
Adam Rose against the Bunny.
Yeah. Well.
That's the hairs match.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. The Bunny's a hair. See? Yeah. See what I did there?
Yeah. Well, he has a hair temper.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, that sucks.
What's that?
The bunny thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as soon as the bunny came on and they had this backstage segment at Survivor Series, I mean, the bunny, when he's in the ring, is able to, because I'm pretty sure Sami Zayn, is able to get some reaction positively because he's so talented.
Yeah.
But, like when the people see the bunny and the, when the people saw Torito, the crowd immediately it boos because yeah. and it just shows, and yet they continue to go to it. And they're not listening to their audience like they say they do. They're completely ignoring the audience and they continue to go to it, and it shows the disconnect they have from what their audience really wants and what they're presenting. Keep in mind, I'm not saying that kids shouldn't, the show shouldn't be available for kids and friendly for kids, but the median age watching the program is 39 years old.
Yes. I immediately drink booze when that happens.
It's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I have to come
up. That's my negative.
I have to
come up with another positive.
Okay.
Well, come on, there's more than that.
No, I'm looking at, I like the, if I look at all the champions.
We're fair and balanced, you know that? We're like Fox News. Very much like Fox News.
Almost exactly. I like all the champions. Right now, if I look at the fact that all the champions are heels. I mean, and I like, but I when I look at them, it's like Miz and Mizdow. Okay,
yeah,
like it, right?
I do too.
Rusev is U.S. champion.
Good stuff.
Like it. Luke Harper as Intercontinental champion. I like it.
Yeah.
But it's different. I like it.
Okay.
And then Brock Lesnar is the WWF champion. I like that still.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed no difference with him being gone.
Well, no, they just keep on going on like that title is important.
Yeah.
So no difference, right?
So I like that Brock is the champ still there, right? So it is going to feel special when he comes back.
I think it probably will, actually. Yeah. You know what? I think it probably will.
I think people complaining, but I think absence will make the heart grow fonder, and when he shows up at the Slammies, it'll get a pop, and then whenever he has to defend against Cena at Rumble, it'll mean a little something. So, I mean, we can question the match, but I think Lesnar's involvement will mean a little something.
So the Big Show, here's something bad. The Big Show's heel again.
Yes.
For the billionth and 1.5 billion times.
Didn't the stat on this?
What's that?
The Big Show?
What?
Big Show has turned 32 times in his career.
Yeah.
Literally, 32 times, and he debuted in 1995. So he's 32 times in 19 years.
So yeah, so
or 32 times.
So about 8 months. Once every 8 months, he turns.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous. And not only that, but this time he turns and then comes out in a suit mm-hmm. and gives a speech about why he turned, which is the exact same as the last time he turned. That's the exact same segment they did
with John Laurinaitis, right?
Yeah, and it's like, I was just watching it. I'm like, I've been here before.
And the last two times that he turned, you both had it was. In the suit, but the reason that he turned both times is because Cena's a dick.
Well, if they actually gone with that as the explanation, I could have at least bought that. His explanation,
you could have bought Cena's dick. I know you bought the Randy Savage gear.
Yeah, I did, guys. I just last night there was somebody here in town who had purchased a ring-worn Randy Savage silk shirt. Part of his outfit, and he sold on eBay like 2002, certificate and everything like that, and I bought it. So we'll get it. What we'll do is we'll get it in a shadow box, and with the certificate and stuff like that, get a picture framed, and at some point in time, it'll be a show picture at some point in the future. It'll probably stay at your house for a while my place.
Probably the show picture for when Randy Savage is announced as going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm really excited by it.
Ooh, yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Fair and balanced.
Mm-hmm.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, Big Show. We've been here before. The explanation made 31 no sense.
Other times.
And yeah, how can you possibly? You could have at least, like I say, there's so many ways that you could have gone to make it more interesting.
Yeah.
But
you know, when you
they didn't bother to do that again. It's just him coming out doing the exact same segment as before. Yeah. And you know what? It was another long talking segment. I bet you it went 15 minutes.
Yeah. But it sets up Big Show and Eric Rowan.
And I like that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where I was going.
Yeah.
I like that because
I'll agree with anybody
who's going to learn on how to work a big man style, the Big Show can take him along, do it as a heel, do the jobs as a heel. He's old. It doesn't matter, right, that he loses.
Yeah.
Rowan can go over. And I think and Big Show, well, he doesn't mean a lot. Rowan beating Big Show makes him better.
Well, there's a couple things I can say from this. Number one, I complained about how he was a good guy, and this was a guy who was cutting heel promos last time we saw him. But really, when you go back to his promos, he was talking about how he had been picked on and run and be afraid and all this stuff.
And now
it's like, I don't like bullies.
He's going to be teaming up with Ken Shamrock. I do not like bullies. Last week on Monday Night Raw, when you gave me the Stone Cold Stunner, I was upset because I don't like bullies.
And Stumpy. He doesn't like bullies or nasties.
No. Well, nobody likes Brian Knobs.
Anyways, no, but I mean, I liked it. All of a sudden it made sense. It's like, okay, that's why he's a good guy. Because he was picked on, and now he's big enough to fight back. And that makes sense. And they've gone away from the kiddie stuff, at least the last couple of shows.
Well, but Show referenced it, right?
Yeah, but whatever. It doesn't matter. He referenced the Renee Young shit. Like, not only that, but...
Yeah, they dropped that.
Now he can beat Show, and that means you're saving, you're holding off the Harper thing.
Yes.
And, you know, you're not getting Show versus Cena. You're getting something fresh. You're saving that other match that people will want to see when the time comes.
Harper and Rowan.
Not Cena and Show. Harper and Rowan, you're saving that.
Save Cena Plus and Show for Harper, Mania.
But what I really liked was when Rowan knocked him out of the ring and Show was leaving, the natural baby face fire and charisma Rowan showed is fired up in the ring.
Yes.
I thought he, and the crowd responding to him. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, I like that. But you're right in terms of the Big Show and just the, you know, when you turn, like I say, so,
it's,
when you
turn, it's bad enough they turn him, but to turn him and do the exact same promo, the exact same suit, I think.
When you turn so many times that Jake Roberts is jealous, you got a problem.
No shit.
So...
brutal. And you turned him right after the Mark Henry thing, which leaves Mark Henry now in no role, as we're seeing. There's no forward thinking there.
Yeah, where do you go with Mark Henry, right? If you're going to do, like, well, there could still
I asked
be...
you immediately when he turned. I said, does this turn Mark Henry babyface?
Yeah, exactly.
But apparently not. It's just, you know. But it is bad that all this happened and John Cena doesn't say anything about it. Like, that doesn't make any sense either.
Well, but John Cena's having a yucky good time because of Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Right?
So that just doesn't make any sense. All he had to do was say, oh, by the way, Show, I know what you did, but you know what? My new buddy, Eric Rowan, he's promised me he's going to kick your ass.
Do you think his good friend called him up after Raw and said... Woo, I did this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because Dolph Ziggler is in the Zack Ryder role right now. All you need is Eve Torres to come in and kick Ziggler in the nuts, and you pretty much have the exact same thing.
That's true.
Former mid-card champion.
It almost seems like he's getting a push, but you can't trust it the way they're doing it. Yeah.
He's not. He didn't get a push on Monday.
No, he sure didn't.
No, I mean, he was on the back of burner. But... I mean, speaking of the back of burner, you had Return of Santino.
Yeah, so are you going to say this is a good thing?
No, I'm on good things.
You're on good things. You can't take that one.
Wait,
that's
no,
mine.
But then we go, swerve! Oh. Now I'm on the bad things.
Okay.
That's the rules of the game.
Now I'm on, which is good, because I just talked about Eric Rowan. That was me taking a good thing.
See, there you go.
So it's your turn.
So there you go. Well, you lost a point because you didn't yell swerve.
Making up the rules as we go along.
That's right. I got 100 points for noticing that you lost a point.
Okay.
So now
I'm minus one. I had like 3 points, and now I lost one, so I've got two.
Two.
And you had 3 points, and you just gained 100, so you're at 103.
So, no, I have a million.
Oh.
Did you hear what... Hunter and Stephanie said too, by the way, about how they were gone.
What the fuck are you doing here?
You know, when they were gone, now that they've been, they're like, this show is going to implode in like, this company is going to implode in like 3 weeks, they said.
Yes.
And then I'm like, Hunter, don't you know, you have enough money to last 6 billion years. Which is clearly an idiot.
What an idiot.
Yeah, at least thank God he's not the chief financial officer.
It's his day job.
It's his day job.
He's always going to have it.
That's true.
So, anyways, you're on the bad things. So, go ahead. Talk about next week's general manager.
I will next. But Santino comes out with Vader. And Vader starts talking about how he's beat up Fred Savage. How he's like, I did pop when Larry the Cable Guy, is that his name?
I guess, I don't
Larry
know.
The Cable Guy? Yeah, when he said...
I'm busy, I'm not listening to you, I'm trying desperately to think of one more good thing.
When Larry the Cable Guy said that, oh, I'll come up with a good thing here for you then.
Okay.
Larry the Cable Guy said...
Let me fail first, let me see if I can come up with something.
But he said he was going to go Uncle Elmer on all your asses.
Uh-huh.
And I popped.
That he did say, yeah.
And then he talked about King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, yeah. He actually got a little bit of the crowd behind him because he was funny enough.
But the rest of it was shit.
Well, the thing
and then they were booing him.
Then they were booing him. Well, the thing was, the worst was when they were on commentary.
Oh.
So I was like, why are they out there again? But the worst part is then Jerry Lawler's telling him, trying to explain to him the bunny and stuff like that. And somehow when in doing so, it made it obvious that Larry the Cable Guy doesn't watch the product, which in turn buries the product. So that's stupid. So that's a bad thing. Did I hail Swerve? Or am I fucking
no? But that worse? Was mine. Anyway, okay. So you stole mine. So okay. Now come up with your good thing.
All right. Well, a new day. Yeah. The promos are good. I'm looking forward to it. Like we said, the promos are good. The segments are good. I'm looking forward to it. These guys. This is. Like, if you watch their YouTube stuff, this is closer to who they really are. This is like their real personalities dialed up to 11, as we talked about. Instead of something forced and something... This allows them to be more natural. It's going to be good for all of them. The music is cool.
Yeah.
The dancing. This is they're a lot of fun. And this is going to be like talk about how Torito and stuff like that, how that's for the kids and it doesn't work. And meanwhile, like... The Usos aren't pandering to the kids, but are super popular to the kids because they're young and they're energetic and they're colorful. And these guys are gonna same thing. It's three guys. They're young, they're energetic, they're colorful. It's gonna connect. I believe it's gonna do really well.
Sorry, did you say they're colorful?
Fuck off.
Just trying to get at what you're saying here. One is stronger. One is smarter. One can fly higher.
Yes, it's perfect.
They're Speed Force.
I like to call them Quick Lane.
But they're going to debut on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And officially on Raw.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny. They're on SmackDown, but yeah, coming next week to Raw. That's bad.
Nah, whatever.
Whatever, your turn.
Anyway.
Do something bad.
Okay. If I can
next week's Smell General Manager.
Have your attention, please. I've just received an email from the anonymous Raw general manager, who they identified as Hornswoggle. And then the stupid Raw going off the air with the ting to the ting to the ting.
Oh, what talk about go-away heat. That was like, oh, this makes me want to turn the channel and not turn it on next week.
Yeah, I won't watch. Like Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Fucking whoopee.
Yeah, horrible. So, in other words, you don't have a general manager. You don't need one. But you think you do, so and you don't have an idea, so you're just recycling them. So we'll see Vicky, we'll see fucking, for luck it was Eric Bischoff, I'd like that.
Yeah.
But we'll see, we might just see, like, you know.
Well, maybe that's Cyber Monday.
Mick Foley, I'm sure.
Maybe that's the vote. Who do you want to see return as general manager in 2 weeks? Because you don't need a general manager for the Slammies.
No, right? But they will.
I don't know.
They're stupid.
You know, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They really are. But, yeah. So that was Raw.
Well, another good thing. I'm trying to leave on a positive note. The little backstage segment between Vince, How You Let Me Down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I like that. That was good.
When he
there was actually logic and sense behind
Dad,
that.
Dad, I'm sorry. The hell you say?
Yeah.
That was great.
Vince McMahon's don't apologize.
I've never been sorry for a damn thing in my life. I'm sitting there going, XFL... WBF.
But he's not sorry.
WWF.
I believe
New York.
That.
I know, I totally believe
that's
that.
That's it. It's like, I failed, but I'm not saying I fuck up, but I'm not sorry for it.
Sorry.
At least I tried.
I fucked up.
But that's it. I mean, it's like I didn't understand why he did this to them, and now they actually explained it in a way that it makes sense to me, and they can play off that.
You
for
have
the
to
future.
Face insurmountable.
But how about the bad thing about how little they followed up on staying the next night on Raw? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this is why I'm tuning into Raw. Like, this is to see the follow up to that. This is the follow up for who's going to be the next general manager. And what's next with Sting? Those are the two reasons I tune in. Right?
I will say,
and
they
do a little bit of one, but not much. They just kind of, you know, have a replacement manager for 1 week.
No,
and the next,
Hunter cut
a pretty shitty promo on him. But other than that,
yeah. But if we analyze this, the show opens with the Sting, like the Sting package thing with the video, and then the Sting and stills and such. Hunter cuts the shitty promo. John Cena cuts a shitty promo. Talking about how Sting and Dolph Ziggler single-handedly changed it. So they've tapped into it. It's just a matter of, I wouldn't even do it next week because I'm already...
Well, I guess you have to... It's a slow burn.
It is a slow burn.
Triple H and him to get to there. And I don't know how they're going to get to there.
Well, Cena's got to give... Sting's got to beg Cena to do it. I don't know. Maybe Sting gets in the Rumble and Hunter screws him out of the Rumble. Can it be that simple?
It could be. That works.
And then he needs a match with them, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the highlight.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's the good, the bad, the ugly of Raw.
Yeah.
What else do we want? You saw the Usos.
Oh, on Rowan's music, even though it's really weird, it almost sounds Japanese, I still like it.
Yeah. Sounding Japanese. I think it's sounding Japanese. I really think so.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I watched the Usos documentary.
Yes, I did.
That they did. But you will.
See, I will.
It's great.
Well, especially since you said it was 26 minutes.
Yeah, it's like 26, 27 minutes. It's like a half hour. But really, really good. A lot of talk about Umaga and how important he was to their career. How he took them when they were like working in a warehouse after they had, you know, basically flunked out of college. And got them in the wrestling industry. That's a big thing. A lot of talk about them and Roman Reigns. Just a lot of talk about how close they are. You know, obviously, they're not identical twins. that was a bit of a surprise to me. I mean, really, really good. That's the type of thing that I would love to see. Like, this is it. This is. What's cool about the network? The thing is, it's 27 minutes. It's great on the network, and it makes me want to watch on the network. It's one of the reasons I'm happy to have the network. But the problem I have is, like, one of the problems of, we can go back to something negative on Raw, because I just have to.
Okay.
44 minutes of wrestling on 3 hours.
Yes.
And like I said, 80 minute. And yet, if they did a bunch of wrestling, I'd be bitching that they're burning through matches. They're giving us the same matches all the time. They're burning through matches and feuds before we're seeing them on pay-per-views. They're not making me wait. They're too much wrestling action because you have such a small roster. Like I say, they need 15, 20 more guys on the main roster.
Yeah.
If WCW had 200 and they currently have like 50 guys, like, think about that.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't even use all of them.
No, that's true.
Yeah, it's a really small roster, and one of the things they need to make the product better is to expand the roster. But the last thing they can do right now is spend money.
Yes.
So they're fucked. And the same thing. If they don't give me any wrestling, I complain, fuck, it's a lot of talking and it's boring and it's slow. On the other hand, because you have such a small roster, if you give me a lot of wrestling, I'm complaining, it's the same matches, there's nothing happening.
But when we think about
They're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
But they don't have to be, because you can take... And I haven't even seen it, so I would presume you could take this Uso segment. Could you not take this Uso segment and make it a five-part, five-minute segment throughout
That's
Brock?
Actually where I was going with this.
Because I look at what they did with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And those were great. And that cut in, as I said, I mean, in a three-hour show, and you got five of them, you're
people
doing...
don't watch Raw because it's good. People watch Raw because it's a habit. And that's pretty much where they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if they put this on right in the middle of the show for a half hour, I don't really know how many people would stick around for it. It would be a success, it would be a failure. I don't think you could give it a half hour, but I do think you could do, like, I would do, like, 3 10-minute segments.
But what if the first...
Or 3 12... Yeah, I'd do, like, 3 10-minute segments, basically.
What if the first...
And just spread it out between the 3 hours.
But what if
and it would freshen up the show. It's the same thing, like, we talked about before. Quit opening the show with a talking segment. Sometimes open with a brawl. Sometimes open with a wrestling match. Sometimes open with a talking segment. Sometimes open with an interview in the back. Don't always do the exact same pattern.
Well,
doing something like this, as great as it is on the network, it'd be more valuable to them on Raw because it would actually build up the characters and build up the matches. If you just have guys talking about matches like they're important, that would be like talking segments. The part of the problem is that they try and write a show to entertain you without at all writing a show to make what you're actually there for, which is wrestling matches, important.
Yes.
And therefore, those you don't connect to the wrestling matches, which is what you're supposed to connect to.
Yes.
So if they had a 5-minute segment with a guy training and talking about his match next week, every now and then, like they did with the Ambrose and Rollins thing for
the Shield to SummerSlam. Right? The Road to SummerSlam?
The Road to SummerSlam thing. Just a few minutes like that.
Yeah.
Just, again, it's like, it makes things seem important, and it just freshens up the show, and it's not the same thing as having Adam Rose or Ryback and Kane, and segments like this that are supposed to be entertaining,
stupid,
but really...
Stupid bullshit.
Yeah, it's just not funny. They aren't actors. You're exposing the bad writing.
Mm-hmm.
You're exposing the bad performing. Stop that. Like, that's my rant.
Okay.
What the fuck were we talking about?
I don't even remember. Usos.
Yeah, so this was great. So, yeah, use it.
The end.
Use it.
Yes. How about your game?
Hey, have we gone through everything?
Yeah. Well, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon are going to be having a podcast on the network on Monday.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. I'm going to watch it. I don't know if it's a video podcast or... The thing is, actually, I don't know that I'll watch it. Because the funny thing is, I'll probably just download it to my iTunes and listen to it on my iPod, you know, because that's what I would do anyway. So I don't have to go to the network for it.
Right.
And so it's one of those things where it's like, we really want to sell this, and this is a selling point. People
will be interested. This is the first day that you have to pay money again.
But you can get it for free on Podcast One.
I wonder if you can. They haven't said that.
I'd be surprised if you can. They did plug Bray Wyatt being on his podcast.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if that's good. I think Bray Wyatt out of character is not necessarily a good thing. Some guys need to protect the character. It still worked for Undertaker. I'm not sure it's a bad thing for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But how do we know that's not like his character isn't like normally what he talks about? Maybe he just hates Mike Rotunda that much.
Could be. Now, I've been starting to play WWE Supercard.
Yeah. Supercard.
On my phone and on my tablets and stuff like that, because it's great and I recommend it. 4 million people have downloaded the fucking thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That must mean that, like,
they have
four million people are on the network.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Not usually.
That's true. But anyways, I have to check where I am because I'm in the middle of
a King of the Ring tournament.
I'm in the King of the Ring finals, and I just lost the first match.
Uh-oh. So you're in the finals.
It's a best of three.
Oh. 2 out of 3 falls match?
Yeah, it is. It's a 2 out of 3 falls match for the for the championship, and I'm in the finals,
and
I'd like to win it. Well, I have a few people on my team, but we won't go into that.
We won't go into that. Okay.
We're not going to go into that right now. I'm just gonna switch out my team here.
Okay.
And just so that I have fresh guys in there.
Really?
And then, I like to keep things fresh.
Even after you shower?
Not after.
Okay.
But let me just do that, and then we'll get back to talking about wrestling.
Some professional wrestling?
Yeah.
Because Sean Thompson sent us a Twitter question. You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead, and then we'll play my game.
Do you think had the worst entrance in World Wrestling Entertainment?
There was actually a few questions, if you want to get to them.
While you fickety around, I just wanted to know who you thought had the worst entrance.
Worst entrance. Because that was actually, we got asked about best entrances. So, and we also got asked about
breast entrances.
I know who wins that.
Mm-hmm. You.
Well, yeah, I win.
Mm-hmm.
Win, like Eric Rowan said.
Yeah.
Win.
Just win.
Win.
He's a brilliant person.
Yeah. Who had the worst entrance? I don't. At the end of the day, nothing is stupider than Mantar. So because of that, because the fucking helmet was so stupid, like the headdress thing that he wore, that would probably count because his reentrance music was a cow mooing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you get any worse than this. Now that said, I mean he was a lower mid card curtain jerker. So I mean if you're looking for a guy who had like they actually gave a lot of push to, but had a horrible like I mean when Shockmaster became Uncle Fred and he was just clumsy, that was obviously a horrible entrance.
That's Uncle Fred.
Yeah, that's obviously, but again, he's just a lower mid card comedy character at that point. I thought Tatanka. I thought like his dance, his headdress, and his horrible, boring, repetitive music for a guy that they actually gave a big push to. He was undefeated for like a year, and then he feuds with Shawn Michaels and Lex Luger and joins like he's hovering between the upper mid card and mid card for a lot of his career there.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, I think that's just. Just, I think that's really an awful entrance.
I'm trying to think of, recent times.
As I finished with my game in quickly, but now you're playing, Family Guy or Simpsons?
Family Guy, it's Family Guy.
Oh, okay.
Just got a lot of things here to click, apparently. So, that's...
Oh, you're a multitasker.
I am.
We care about you this much, that right in the middle of the show, we'll start playing games.
It's true. Well, you do.
Yeah. I care about them that much.
Yeah, you care about them that much. But I'm trying to think of a worse entrance than than how the entrance is going to shock the world.
But that's a debut. That's not an entrance.
No, like you said, Uncle Fred.
But he became Uncle Fred just a clumsy guy on the way to the ring. That was pretty damned awful.
I also thought, though, that what's his name? Max Moon... That was stupid.
Yes. Maximum was stupid. Well, the truth is, you look at somebody like The Rock, his music was great, and he has great charisma. They never did anything particularly special with his entrance, except for the short period where he was a heel, and it had the video with him landing on the rooftop or whatever in a helicopter, and slowing down his music, and that didn't really work or last long. Like, he never really did anything with his... Like, there was nothing special about his entrance.
The thing is, most of the people that had stupid entrances had stupid gimmicks. Like, the boogeyman.
They do... Yeah, exactly. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, they really
Mantar
do.
Mantar again, right?
I can't think of a great...
You know what? On all of this...
Actually, I can come up with the worst...
I actually got it,
worse
too.
Than...
Mantar, I got one.
Worse than Mantar is Avatar.
Avatar was awful.
He walked out. Al Snow walked out, and then... When he got in the ring, he put on a lucha mask. That was his gimmick.
Yeah, that was bad. That was really bad.
And it was just a know-nothing entrance. He walked to the ring very, like, bristly and just, like just stone-faced and stared straight and didn't acknowledge any of the crowd or anything. And then just came in, put on a mask, did some martial arts poses, and that was it.
Yeah, it was really kind of hard to... understand what they were going for there.
Yeah.
Oz was horrible. But on the other hand, there was something kind of cool about it because they put so much into the production of Kevin Nash as the Oz character.
Yeah, big green. It was...
Like, there was so much production. And yet it was awful because the gimmick and the look and the idea, all of that is awful. Like when he basically is dressed like this old man in his face and everything and pulls all the shit off.
That's...
And you're like, that's a young guy. That was the killer to
that
the gimmick.
That was it, exactly. He came out with this big, tall mask and this big, whole thing looked huge.
Yeah, yeah.
10 feet tall.
His beard is dyed gray. And...
Yeah, and then he took it all off and it was like the Master Blaster.
Yeah, and so that was particularly bad. So, yeah. What are some of your... the question was, what are some of your favorite entrances?
Favorite entrances.
Because, like... I mean, I like the Chris Jericho... I like the Chris Jericho where it was the gimmick where... kind of entered the graphic and kind of rang around the internet type of tubes type thing, you know?
Yes.
I love that one, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, that to me was that's the best Chris Jericho entrance.
Yeah.
And which is one of the best entrances ever.
It is.
You know, so that's one to me that yeah.
I always liked the Scott Hall entrance, the Razor Ramon entrance, where he got in the ring, he had the pyro, the draping pyro, the one go up the and the yeah. other stuff that fell, and he did the point at him thing, and then the Razor's Edge symbol or whatever. I always thought that was a good, impactful entrance. Even, you know what, Hunter with the water spitting. You know, that's hard to do. Literally, that is actually hard to do.
There's somebody on the independents I saw do something similar, and yeah. I thought, really? Yeah, well, I mean, and Rob Van Dam talked about how good he is at spitting water.
Yes, he spits. But I think the Hunter entrance is good for him.
Yeah, something about it worked again. Like, it's like, I love Chris Benoit's entrance because he just, music hit. It was intense, hardcore music. Yep. He walked to the ring, and he didn't stop and look at the crowd. He didn't stop. But it wasn't like Al Snow where it's like, what the fuck's he doing? Yep. It was like, I'm here to fight. I'm here for a fight. You felt like this guy was here to get into a fight. Mm-hmm. Russell, he was there for business, and it worked, right?
But that's the thing, too, that played into, you know, that extension of real life, because, like, Benoit was a guy that just wouldn't stop.
Don't. You did it.
Totally. I liked Eddie Guerrero's entrance, too.
Oh, what, the cars.
The cars.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it worked with Alberto Del Rio, too. And you know what? I actually even the car worked for JBL. Yeah,
Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez.
Oh yeah, with
that is a great
entrance. Great act together.
That is a great act. A great.
Boy, did they fuck that up? Huh?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, he knows what he did. Rey Mysterio had a great entrance when he come through the ramp in the air.
Yeah.
Who's that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y.
Yeah, I like that music better. Yeah. Both music was good.
Yeah.
And it's like we talk about, I mean, like Mark Henry's music, some of the best,
yeah,
like ever, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously.
And that plays into the entrance.
And then you have like the different entrances, the special entrances you have for WrestleMania. I love the John Cena one in Chicago where CM Punk debuted with the kind of the Tommy guns and the you know, the mobster type gimmick.
Yeah.
That was great. I like the one with John Cena where they brought out all the guys dressed like him and used his old music,
and then he ran down. Yeah, yeah.
His Word Life basic thugonomics music.
Yeah,
like to me, things like that are cool, right? That's like you know.
Yeah, like when Brodus Clay had all of his mamas dancing.
No,
oh,
not that
actually. But to be honest, when John Cena, both John Cena and The Rock, when The Rock was wrapped down by Flo Rida, first one in Miami,
Machine Gun. What was his
name? Kelly.
Kelly, that's it. Yeah, for John Cena. Yeah, it worked.
Those were great.
Like so some of those special WrestleMania entrances. I mean, obviously, there was I think it was the second year of Shawn Michaels and Taker was that they both had just great entrances.
One
right?
was rising from the heavens, and one was down to the depths of hell.
Exactly. Like great. It was awesome, right? Yeah. So
even the first attempt with the WrestleMania 12,
yeah,
the zip line, right? Didn't go off quite as it should have, but or you know, it didn't really have the best effect. But it was a try, and it was a first try.
Well, we talk about Sting when we talk about the Crow music. When they did at the Starrcade, they debuted the Crow. Like they had their actual Crow, and they had that music, and they had the little girl doing this. It was a long soliloquy.
Oh, good God, was it ever?
It was long, but it was awesome. It was so cool and unique.
It was not I loved awesome.
It. I loved
it. Oh my God. I think that girl is still talking. I think a girl opens Raw every Monday.
Well, she's a girl.
Yeah, that's true. Opens Raw every Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that was awful.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, these are some of the... Yeah, see, again, these are some of... That was one I really
Actually,
liked.
That was the worst entrance. They're one of the worst entrances.
No, I love that.
Not a regular one, but...
I mean, Goldberg's, right? You know?
Yeah, Goldberg.
But it was Goldberg's was great.
Yeah.
But Goldberg's right from walking through the back to him hit the pyro and then blows out the smoke like a fire breathing dragon. And
the Ultimate Warrior had a great entrance.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
You know, he just broke the record for the 220.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was
No, it was a great entrance, right? Yeah, it was a great entrance because it was different again.
Yeah, that's true. What's your game?
Okay. So, this is the other question the Bannable asked us.
Okay.
Okay.
Play the game?
No. The Bannable asked us most vivid memories in wrestling.
Oh.
So, what are your most vivid memories?
What does vivid mean again?
Like,
what do I remember like it was yesterday?
Yeah, like, just, like, it's just totally just poof. You know, for me, for instance, an incredibly vivid memory for me is we talked about me buying that Savage, and, you know, Savage was huge to me. Like, Savage was...
I remember when you bought that Savage.
That Savage shirt, but the Savage Hogan handshake.
Yeah.
Like, all I have to say is the handshake, and if you're of a certain generation and you watch wrestling, you could, like, you and I were able to, at one point in time... You said something like Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, and I turned to you and I did the Hogan and you did the Savage and we're doing the mannerism.
Yeah.
And you can do it with almost anybody who watched that wrestle and saw that.
Yeah.
Even if you've never shook their hand before or talked about doing it, one of you can be the two of them, because just the whole thing about them looking at the crowd and them like, and just the way that handshake was, to me, that's one of the most vivid memories.
See,
I'll ever have in wrestling. And it was a handshake. Think about that.
This is an unfair question, because, like, we're about an hour in. And and we can make this about an 8-hour show with all of the vivid memories I have of wrestling.
Most vivid. Like, what are the two or three, though? It's like something...
I'm going to need
Chris
a...
Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero. I can't not say, like, that memory of them hugging at the end of WrestleMania 20... Yeah. Is an incredibly vivid
memory.
And you
know what's more vivid to me is honestly, you know what's more vivid to me is the Hunter tapping and the and Eddie beating beating Brock.
Eddie
beating Brock in the No Way Out the month before.
That was awesome.
But
yeah.
I mean, like, go down the list here.
Obviously, the screw job.
The screw job, the first time...
There's a reason why they did it so many times. It was something. Like,
stick with Bret Hart and his first title win.
When he showed up out of nowhere on TV.
Interview on the platform with Mean Gene.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I watched Stampede Wrestling, so I mean...
Greatest dreams.
Yeah, I mean, a vivid memory for me is Bad News Allen and the Mongolian Stomper. Archie Goldie and this angle where he beats up his son was a vivid memory, right?
I can vividly recall.
You know what's vivid to me? You know what probably most vivid thing to me about Stampede Wrestling is the pavilion, because that to me was the ECW arena where they wrestled every week before the ECW arena.
Have you been down there lately? Because they got that new building beside it. It's like I barely even you know, it doesn't seem the same. But, I mean, heck, I can vividly recall Bulldog
Bob. It was a place where its use was, when it wasn't housing wrestling, it was so that the farmers could sell their cattle and their livestock.
Yeah, they have the sheep shearing contest during the Stampede in there now. But I remember Bulldog Bob Brown calling Ron Ritchie a raccoon.
Really?
Yeah.
And see, I don't remember
like
that at
a
all.
Raccoon.
But these are kind of like my... First few
all of WrestleMania 4.
Well, I mean, WrestleMania 3 has the two memories. Well, it has several memories, but the Andre and the Savage.
See, I have two memories.
It's Steamboat leaving the ring with George Steele in the belt, it's the body slam, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I have two.
I mean, because Hogan weighed, I mean, Andre weighed what, about 14,000 pounds?
I think he was 93,173 pounds.
Sounds about right.
But I have two memories of WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
The television memory.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
right.
The memory of the guys about the size of ants. Body slamming each other
and
such.
Yeah.
You know, so. Because
you're way up high. You're
seeing
like
it on
what,
the screen.
Nine?
Nine! I think it's 8 or 9.
Yeah,
I don't know if I turned. I must have not been 9 yet. I think it's 8.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm trying to think of you know, memories in terms of.
Well, that's it. I mean, they would jump out to you when the first thing when somebody says you're a wrestling fan, and you go, "Yeah," and they say, "Why?" You'd say, "Yeah, because bam,
the mega power's exploding."
Yeah.
You know, I remember a wrestling memory of mine is.
It's not usually the title wins and stuff like that. Actually, for me, is the funny thing.
WrestleMania, I remember. Huddling around the kitchen table as my dad hid the sports section from us all, and we're all so interested as to what the result of WrestleMania 4 was. And they had it in, like, the box score section of the paper.
Yeah.
Had the sports section had, like, all the results of WrestleMania 4 in that section. And my dad's like, we're trying to, he's like, nope. Then he'd, like, he'd read a result, and then he'd, like, all right, should I read another one? You know, like that.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
You know what? You're, what you're is basically saying is that your dad was a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, dad was a dick.
Well, it's
luckily,
thing,
I turned out the way I did.
Well, you a reformed asshole.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that your New Year's resolution was to be a bigger asshole?
It was.
Yeah. How's it going?
Excellent. It's going very well. My New Year's. You should wait till my New Year's resolution.
I can't
year.
Wait to find out what it'll be.
Oh yes.
I cannot wait. Oh, and again, thanks for your support, folks. Yeah, the first time I saw my very first ever time I saw NWA, because, I mean, I've been reading about them in the aftermags and Pro Wrestling Illustrated, PWI, and these things. So there was a place which had brought in some of these NWA tapes, and it was the Great American Bash. And it was... I remember Dusty Rhodes. I don't remember who wrestled, but I just remember Dusty Rhodes blowing my mind, being so charismatic and sweating and blood, and just he was in this bloodbath. And the other vivid memory is that it was the main event was Nikita Koloff versus Ric Flair.
Mm.
And it's again, because I remember watching it in a dark corner of my house because nobody would let me watch it anywhere, and watching it like by myself in this little TV, but just being enthralled.
It's where you watch porn now.
No, I watched that on my laptop.
Oh, good. I can vividly recall WrestleMania 18,
mm-hmm.
Hogan and Rock, because I didn't expect the Hogan reaction the way that it happened.
No, yeah,
and just that being a mind-blowing situation, and just a great match because of the crowd and because, you know, the Hulkamania was...
Well, the Shawn Brett, the Shawn return, the Brett, you know, that moment, right?
Yeah, that was the Shawn and Brett... Well, Brett returning on Raw, just... and that was vivid because that was also when Impact was went that head-to-head.
He pretty much had NWO reforming at the exact same time over another channel.
Yeah, but you had Jeff Hardy show up on that cage that Homicide couldn't climb out of.
Yeah.
But it was a great night for wrestling.
Yeah.
And, I remember that. It's just, you know, lots of things... the screw job, like you mentioned. I mean, just never forget walking right up to the TV. It didn't have any volume on it.
Well, like, I'll never forget, obviously, and I'm sure this is for a lot of people. Anybody who saw it live, and I didn't see it live, but I'll still never forget. Foley in the cage, right?
Oh, yeah. I've told that story, I think, on the show.
Yeah.
Watching it on TV where I was at a bachelor party the night before and lost my voice.
Yeah.
People were asking me questions and I can't speak.
Yeah,
and we didn't get volume either on that.
Yeah,
and the sound wasn't working, so people were like, "Was this part of the?" It's like I can't hear the announcer because if you listen to the announcer, you could tell is this are they in on it? Kind
yeah,
of thing,
yeah,
right. But I remember watching the Screwjob, same thing. They didn't used to turn the volume on then, and this was this pub that we worked at and it was dead. And a Sunday, there was like an old owner of the pub that would come in to watch wrestling, and then it would be like some lottery terminal players, and that's it. And I just remember walking right up to the TV when it happened, get about a foot away, and I remember no sound, never seen it before, and I just looked at Tim, the bartender there, and I looked at it and I went, they screwed him. Like, that was the exact words that I used. Yeah. They screwed him. I'll never forget that. Because then it became
you
the screw job.
Yeah, right? You called it before it was. Well, and I still think, to me, I think the greatest upset in pro wrestling history that I ever saw still... Back when, and it's impossible to do upsets now.
Horowitz wins?
No.
Oh. The 1-2-3 Kid beats Razor Ramon?
WrestleMania 10, when Owen pins Bret. Yes. That's a vivid memory.
My vivid memory of that is the interview afterwards where he has the goober.
I'll never forget the goober.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the game.
I believe he follows us on Twitter now.
The goober?
Owen's goober.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. Nope. I believe it's at Owens Goober.
Are you serious? That exists?
Oh, the World Wide Web.
Oh, you gotta love it. Well, I need to check my game again. I can't remember how many minutes before my my next match. If I lose this next match, I'm out, you see.
Really?
And, yeah.
So if you lose 47 matches, you're out? Thank God Vince Russo has a job.
Yes, Vince Russo is booking this game. The next game's in 9 minutes and 45 seconds, so we're good. Don't
Just
worry.
To get warmed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so where's the game?
Oh, it's on my phone.
Oh. Is it time to play the game?
Yeah, why don't you sing while I call it up?
Okay. Let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One's name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy has big dick and Mo is fat. Remember that these heroes to the north. Are you ready yet?
I didn't think that was how it went.
No, it definitely says you're fat.
Okay, so I call this one, what's in a name? So like I say, I'll give you two people.
Okay.
Or
like might for be, instance, you, M and O.
Yes, but it's not just, like, I might mix a celebrity with a wrestler. I might mix two celebrities. I might mix two wrestlers. I might say form a stable and give me the name. I might say,
okay.
like several people. Like, it's not, you know, it's very loose. So, Christian and Kevin Sullivan, if you were to name their team, what would you call them?
Oh. Let's see here.
Christian and Kevin Sullivan.
The Charismatic Demons.
Okay. Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo.
Oh. Let me think. Randy what?
Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo.
Randy Savage. I was thinking Randy Orton.
No, Randy Savage.
Lanny Poffo.
Leaping Lanny Poffo, or the genius.
Macho Man. The Macho Geniuses.
The Macho Geniuses. See, I would have thought you would have called them, like, Pump and Renown, or Glory and Circumstances. But here's what I would call. If I had Randy Macho Man Savage and the genius Lanny Poffo, you know what I would call them? Hmm. Thinking, yeah. That'd be their team name.
Okay.
What do you think?
That's good.
All right. Giant Gonzalez and Great Khali.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Shit Connection.
I would call them Team Fuck No.
Hmm.
All right. The Killer Bees and Billy D. Williams form a stable. They are...
Oh.
Killer Bees and Billy D. Williams. Who, of course, was Lando Calrissian.
Yes.
In Star Wars. Yeah. The Killer Bees were jumping Jim Brown's
The out. Masters of Clow Sitby.
I like it. Oh, that's good. That's really good. CM Punk and The Rock. CM Punk and The Rock.
Yeah.
CM Punk and The Rock. What do you got? Come on.
I'm going to say the Straight Edge and Syringe Connection.
That's not bad. See, I would have called them The Clash. Because punk rock.
There you go.
So,
I got it. Punk rock.
CM Punk, Yokozuna.
Oh. Let me think about this.
CM Punk and Yokozuna.
Oh. I'm going to call them Team Nagasaki.
I would have called them Team Skinny Fat.
Oh, there you go. Team Nagasaki or Team Hiroshima. Because of the pipe bomb.
The pipe bomb.
Too soon?
Val Venus and Addy.
Oh.
Val Venus and you, Addy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would call it the ultimate porn star and Val Venus.
I call it the porn star and the dick.
Hmm.
Eddie Guerrero and Elvis. Eddie Guerrero and Elvis.
Team who'd they ever beat?
The Ryback and Scott Steiner.
Oh, well, that would be Team Ryback acting.
It really would. Team Ryback acne. Yes. Hulk Hogan and Triple H.
Wow. Team Little Dick.
I would have called them Team No Job.
No Job.
But, yeah, I like that. King Kong Bundy and Mo.
The Moving Twins.
I don't know why I have this one on here. Nickelback and the Beatles.
Nickelback and the Beatles.
Team, what the fuck is that?
Rockin' Crap?
Honky Tonk Man and the Boogeyman.
Ooh.
To me, that's easy.
I'm just trying to think. Team, eat some worms and make some noise.
I think that's obviously Honky Tonk Boogie.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of something to do with worms.
Well, then, the Boogeyman, and this is off the top of my head, the Boogeyman and who was it that used to do the worm? Mm-hmm. What was that?
Scotty Too Hotty.
Scotty Too Hotty and the Boogeyman.
There you go.
What do we got?
I don't know. Something, maybe you tie Rikishi into this? I don't know. What do you...
Okay, you call it a stable.
Well, I'm just trying to think of, no, what do they have in common? Boogeyman and Scotty Too Hotty.
Nothing I can think of.
That's right.
So Big Daddy Cool Diesel and Big Sexy Kevin Nash.
Oh. Team No Talent?
Brian Pillman and Sid Vicious.
Oh. The Loose Squeegees.
Alf and Yoda.
Alf and Yoda.
Alf and Yoda.
Hmm. The Melmacian Force.
I like it. Jeff Hardy and Jake Roberts.
Wow, Team Crackhead.
Michael Hayes and Spice Girls.
Team, well, tell me, Team, tell me what you want, what you, well, want. Fits on the bottom of the screen. Fits on the bottom of the screen.
Iron Sheik and Motley Crue.
I think you just called them Motley Crue.
Alice Cooper and the hair metal band Poison.
Let's see. Also, that actually would be the team. This would be the same team name as Adam Rose and the Bunny.
Oh, yeah?
And that's Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. I like that.
That's deep.
That's deep. Road Warriors and My Little Pony.
Oh. The Furries of Doom.
The Furries of Doom. Mr. T and Roddy Piper.
I'm just trying to think here. Mr. T and Roddy Piper. I would call them Team Motherfuckers.
John Cena and Axl Rose.
Cena. Axl Rose.
Yes.
I would say... let's see. John Cena.
And Axl Rose.
Rose.
Yeah.
Think of...
Do you want to come back to that one or skip it?
How about Team Fucking Annoying?
Hillbilly Jim and Jumpin' Jim Brunzel.
Oh. Let's see. Why don't you just call them the Hillbilly Jim Brunzels?
Okay, here's one that I don't know why I wrote down because I probably shouldn't have. I don't want to see what you'd come up with there.
What, for Jimmy Snuka?
No, don't do it.
Chris Benoit?
No. I shouldn't even have shown it to you.
What?
No.
What? They would be team voluntary manslaughter. They would. I didn't do it. Don't blame me. Or the Nancy killers. I like that one better.
He's so proud of himself right now, guys. Heath Slater and Bill Cosby.
Oh. I'm fucking money.
Bill Cosby and every single diva.
Team MIA.
MIA?
Missing in action.
Okay.
Not Misfits in action.
Hulk Hogan and Justin Timberlake. Okay. Val Venus and Mankind. That's obviously the cock and sock connection.
Oh, I was thinking like Bang Bang.
Both are good. Both work. Ric Flair and Scott Hall.
Ric Flair and Scott Hall. Team, who's going to pay my bar tab?
Ric Flair and Johnny Manziel.
Who?
Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel.
Cool. Oh, Johnny Manziel. If they said Johnny Mantel.
No.
I was like, is that Zeb Coulter's dad? I think it is.
Okay.
But, Johnny Mantel was a, it's Ken Mantel that was involved in World Class Championship.
It was Rick Martel you were thinking of.
No. Ken Mantel was,
So Rick Martel and Ric Flair. Morton.
Dragon Steamboat?
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. What do you call these guys?
The Rick Dicks.
Richard Simmons and Captain Lou Albano.
Wow.
That's actually... I know what I would call them, and if you go there, this would be bad. So let's just skip that.
Well, I would just call them elastic fags.
Yeah, what, that was pretty much...
Those are cigarettes in England.
Iron Sheik and Pat Patterson?
Mm-hmm. Team fuck your ass.
Pat Patterson and Kamala.
The knee pad boys.
One needs knee pads and one doesn't. Fandango, Brooklyn Brawler, Pat Patterson, and Justin Timberlake.
I would say a gay bar on a Saturday night.
So you know particularly which night that is?
Yeah, I mean, if it was Friday, Justin Timberlake could be on tour.
Okay. All right. So Sting the wrestler.
Okay.
And Sting the musician. Sting the wrestler and Sting the musician.
Let's call it the Red Light District.
Okay. Surfer Sting and the Dynamic Dudes.
Wow. Team crap.
Okay, I can't believe here's another one. I'm just going to show it to you. I can't believe I put this down. Because I know where you're going to go with that.
Which one?
The one right there. You can see it above there.
Oh, Tony Romo and Pat Patterson.
I didn't want you to see it. That's why I was showing it to you.
Oh, I see. So it's the Romo and the Homo. Right? Now you want me to go with that? Is that what you set me up for here? Now, that's a trick question, because I'm pretty sure that Romo is a homo, so...
Luke Harper and Alberto Del Rio. Luke Harper and Alberto Del Rio. Don't go there.
Luke Harper.
Yeah.
And Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
Well, Luke Harper looks like he works on lawns. With his ring gear.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Vince Russo and Jim Cornette.
Oh. The Mind and the Moron.
Ah, that's good. I like that. Which, actually, if it was Vince Russo and Bobby Heenan, it would be...
Yeah. The Brain and the Bastard.
Lance Storm, Too Cold Storpio, and Virgil.
Team Schlong.
So we could put you in that one.
Yeah.
Adrian Adonis and Shaft.
Well, you'd just have to call them, like, Gay Shaft, wouldn't you?
And finally, Barry Horowitz and Goldberg.
Oh.
What would you do that?
It's a Jew Day.
Should have seen that one coming.
Did you know that Darren Young is getting put into the team with Kofi and Langston?
Yeah.
Langston.
Yeah. It's just Big E.
It's a new gay. Anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
For yet another week.
Yeah, no, on such a classy note, we are O-U-T. Like Ryback says, big guy out.
Yeah, and you're probably bigger than him.
Probably.
I can't wait for my New Year's resolution.
Oh, that makes me worried.
So we have the Anal Anonymous Genital Manager on Monday, which we probably won't see.
Yeah.
Because that sounds stupid.
Yeah.
Cyber fucking Monday means who gives a fuck.
And then you have the Slammies.
Slammies would be great.
Yeah.
Love me some Slammies. I'm staring at two of them right now. Mm. And the return of Brock Lesnar at the Slammies. So that's really going to be the thing to look forward to.
And yet you're going to have a pay-per-view before he actually wrestles again. But it still should set up him and Cena.
Yeah, it'll set up him and Cena.
When is Orton back?
I think he'll be back probably any time now. So, I had thought...
I don't think it's been that long. A couple weeks?
Maybe do the briefcase on a ladder.
With him and...
him and Orton. Rollins and Orton. Right?
Yeah, it could be, yeah. He could do that.
So, but we'll see. I mean, as I said, Raw will probably suck on Monday.
Raw will suck on Monday.
Raw
has sucked every week pretty much for the last, like, 3 months.
But I will have it on my PVR, and I will watch The New Day.
That's true. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'll just watch SmackDown. No, I won't.
No, seriously.
Seriously.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to do it yet again. I said I'm off to Las Vegas. And we may have to slap on a Nitro Party episode next week, but we'll see. Just because it's the Christmas party season.
Yes, and you have to go with the producer to that. And again, I'd like to just thank her for all the guests she's been booking. Mm-hmm. She's been hustling.
Yeah.
You know, she's been efforting, and you know, really appreciate
efforting.
Mm-hmm.
I've been efforting during the show.
I've noticed.
Good stuff. All right. Well, we're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. WeTalkWrestling.com is our wonderful website. We are on Stitcher. We are on iTunes. And we are on the TuneIn Radio app. And what about that?
Facebook? Did you mention Facebook?
Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I mentioned Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. Huh. But we are on Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling.
Yeah.
So
we have a Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling?
Let me check. Yep.
Yep, you just farted again.
Totally, dude. I've been efforting. I've been told you. I also want to know, are we on what's that thing called? RDTV?
Yes, we're on RD. We're on RDTV.
Excellent.
Red Deer Television.
Perfect. Can we be sponsored by DB Crocodile? He's the furniture store that saves you money.
Very inside joke. That's it.
That's right? Going to do it. Yeah, so in the meantime, and also in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, are we off air?
Oh, yeah.
So this one worked. It saved. And we didn't lose it like we did the Survivor Series show?
Probably.
You know, but so... We got this one, like, so all those smart genius things I said, we're not losing again?
Oh, no, the, what?